Welcome to Healing for the Four Folds of Life on TalkZone.com. Here's your host, natural healing practitioner, Terry L. Page.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Healing for the Four Folds of Life. Now, on previous shows, we've talked about healing on the different levels, the four different levels, physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, or the ethereal. There are others, but those are the ones that we've covered. We've said to achieve a complete healing or state of health, one must address all four levels, which overlap, combine, and fold to make up a human body. Now, here's a thought to ponder. Although illness, disease, and injuries appear to occur on only the physical body, oftentimes, this is just merely the tip of the proverbial iceberg. Rarely does unwellness or poor health occur all of a sudden. Although you may perceive it this way, even with injuries, which appear to us to happen suddenly, you may have had groundwork set in motion on other levels that cause a slight weakness in that area of the body long before the actual injury occurred. The weakness facilitated an injury that otherwise might not have happened. Every organ in the body is connected to a certain group of muscles, nutrients, acupuncture lines, and emotions. And we do store trauma and emotion in our bodies, in certain areas more so than others, depending on what it is. A good example of this would be headaches. Rarely do headaches just happen, although we might think they are. And a lot of times the proverbial stress headache really is not just a stress headache. There are many contributing factors that are occurring inside your body, in your mind, and even with your emotions, and sometimes even your energy body or your ethereal body that you don't even know about that converge to give you that headache. Another good example would be like a sprained ankle, which can be affected by the urinary line. The urinary line and the muscles are in the lower leg and run straight down the leg. Being too acidic, say from coffee, tea, soda, stress is another good one, can cause a weakness in that particular area that you're not even aware of until your foot slips off that curb and you end up with a sprained ankle. Now, otherwise, had that weakness not been there, you may have just had a little moment of pain and going, oh, darn, what did I do? But nothing major would have happened. When you have the weakness present, it pulls that tendon, and you end up with a sprain. Now, you may recover quickly, injuries heal, but just addressing the physical body, could you be leaving behind the contributing factors on the mental, emotional, or spiritual levels that led to the illness or injury in the first place? And if so, is it just a matter of time before they contribute to yet another illness or injury in your near future? What are these hidden contributors? How do we get them, and how can they affect your health? And most of all, what can you do about healing them? Well, joining me today in the studio to help answer some of these questions is my special guest, Michelle Katina. Michelle has been an alternative healing practitioner since 1998, and some of her specialties are the Phoenix Vibrational Healing, or PVH, and reflexology. Welcome, Michelle, and thank you for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Wonderful.
Terry.
So tell me, what exactly is Phoenix Vibrational Healing?
It takes quite a bit of explaining. The shortest version I can give you is that it's a comprehensive healing modality. We use dowsing, codes, frequencies, mudras, concentrated prayer, and directed will to identify and clear discordant influences, energies, and beings from individuals, from objects, dwellings in the earth. Physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual suffering can be cleared, or at least the symptoms relieved, by energetic techniques. Mm-hmm. We regard energy as a physical force. The human body, all of us extend out physically 30 feet out in all directions from our midline. Now, so you and I sitting together in the studio, we're in effect sitting inside one another. The fact that we can put our hands through what looks like the air between us doesn't mean that we're not physically there. It means that the substance is vibrating at a different frequency than the substance making up our arms and legs, which we can't just slash a hand through. Physically, there's seven bodies. There's solid, liquid, gas, etheric, emotional, mental, and the causal bodies. And when any kind of illness or disease occurs, it starts out, far out in the causal body. And as it, if not cleared, if not blocked, as it gets closer, it steps down in its vibrational frequency until it reaches the visible body that we're familiar with and starts manifesting as disease. Every disease is going to be caused by a list of influences that all come together in each individual in an individual way to create disease.
So it's very much like tossing a pebble in a pond. It enters in and makes all these rings that contribute to what the actual disturbance was.
Yes, and the rings are going to be affected by the prevailing currents, the rocks in the stream, all that. Everyone manifests differently. MDs is kind of bug and drug. You have this diagnose, hence that pill will fix it. But any diagnosis, I don't treat diseases.
Mm-hmm.
I treat people. That's
big difference.
Big difference. I'm not an MD. I work with individuals, and I work finding, using the dowsing skills, to find the causes and to address the causes. Now, very often, I work with people who are also working with an MD, and where the MDs at some point, they can't go any farther, that's where my abilities are useful to the patient.
Well, the MDs, as most people are pretty familiar, they drug or cut. They work on just the physical. All the outward layers that are affected in your body are not even being addressed.
Well, they don't have the instruments or any kind of tests to measure these things. It can only be measured intuitively and using dowsing. And, you know, I can map. I have maps of energy zones in the body, and mm-hmm. I can work on that. So many things that we have out there, in your introduction, you mentioned headaches. Headache isn't a disease, it's a symptom. And so many different things can cause it. I've had clients, the different causes of headaches range from hormonal imbalance to a blocked crown chakra. And I, mm-hmm. when I can identify the cause, I can generally clear it.
Yes, I've even found in some of my headache patients that merely a continual state of anger has caused it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's going to have, anger is an emotion. And emotion are actually a physical construct. Feelings, which mm-hmm. give rise to emotions, are not physical. They're out in the sixth dimension. I can deal with feelings as well as emotions. And anger is terribly acidic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to really, really unbalance
your
body.
It tends to strongly affect the liver, which can trigger mm-hmm. headaches.
So toxicity. Absolutely.
Major disease causer right there.
Mm-hmm.
Another reason for forgiveness.
Forgiveness and clearing out the shock, panic, and trauma from mm-hmm. the incident or incidents in your past, because your body doesn't forget anything.
No, you have cellular memory. That's a good point, that all this baggage mm-hmm. gets stored somewhere in our bodies, and with some of the techniques that you're doing, you can...
Yes.
Find them and clear them. Now, do the people have to experience them again as you clear them, or do you just help them release them?
No, not necessarily. Now, I will tell you that very often with the kind of healing I do, you're going to have a detox reaction.
That's pretty much normal for any natural healing.
Yeah. Right. But what I will do is I will douse at intervals to find out what your detox level is. And at some point, I will stop. I'm not necessarily going to be able to clear everything all in one go, because if I did, well, as my teacher likes to say, we don't want to heal anyone to death.
Yeah.
And
you make you horribly sick.
Yes, and a detox can get pretty intense. It can be anything from rash to vivid and unpleasant dreams. One thing that's very familiar is that people in a severe detox, they get a bit cranky. And I always tell my clients, you tell your significant other about it so he or she can duck. You know, when I'm going through a severe detox, I tell my husband, and he'll understand that I'm not feeling too well, and not try to engage me too heavily. I do have a way of lowering the detox severity, but it has to come out some way. If I mm-hmm. lower your detox level, you're going to spend an awful lot of time in the bathroom. So I just need to talk to people about it, find out what they want, and explain. I can't do anything overnight. We will mm-hmm. go as far as we can, let you process for a few weeks, and then we'll come back and we will go deeper. Like peeling an onion, you take off a couple of layers, calm down, then you wait a while, then peel off some more until you have the issue cleared.
I like how you brought up a good point about let you process, because when you're pulling these things out, you don't think of healing as digging up old painful memories or emotions or trauma, but you have to sometimes deal with it to let it go, and it can hit you like a ton of bricks when you're not expecting it.
Yes, it isn't necessarily. There are times that I cannot say that you're not going to have some powerful emotions brought up and some memories, but I don't insist on you sitting down and telling me all about it. That is not... I don't need to know.
Exactly.
Maybe sometimes I need to know the outlines of something. Was this an abuse situation, or was this something when you were five? Was this something, was this a burn that you had when you were 14, something like that? But I don't have to hear any of the details, because that's not my job. I just need to know, have an idea of the trauma, and go with that. Another thing that I always like to say, we're something like, what, two-thirds water or mm-hmm. so. Water will retain an imprint, a memory of whatever has been in it. If you, I don't know if some of the people here listening to this have read the books of Masaru Emoto.
Very good books.
Yes, and he was mentioned in the film What the Bleep Do We Know, which all my healing friends have watched this. We just love it. You can label a jug of water. That's going to make all the difference in how well that water tastes. It's going to make all the difference, as he showed, as Emoto showed in his photographs of the crystallization. If you are labeling the water love and gratitude, the most beautiful crystals you've mm-hmm. ever seen in the world, you label it with something very negative, it's going to be horribly misshapen and evil looking. If you microwave it, no one should be using microwave ovens. We all need to learn to live without microwaves.
Now, the book that she is speaking of is called, I believe, Hidden Messages in Water, and is worth
yes.
reading for everybody on the planet. Now, keep that thought in mind.
Yes.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We are going to take a short break, and we'll return in just a few minutes.
Welcome back to Healing for the Four Folds of Life. Here's Terry Page.
Welcome back, everybody. And with me in my studio is Michelle Cantina. We're discussing vibrational healing, specifically her training in Phoenix vibrational healing. All right, Michelle, you were talking before our break about the hidden messages in water and
Masaru Emoto's mm-hmm. books. Yes, he has several. this, it applies to anything that's organic, but also it applies to water. Water retains memory. One of the clearings that I do that helps, that's just necessary as part of the protocol for most of the healings I do, is that with the human body being such a large percentage of it water, is your body never forgets anything that happens to it. And water retains the imprint, the energetic imprint of anything that is said to it, placed within it, any kind of energy directed towards it. Therefore, I will do a clearing of this discordant memory of water in the body. Because I can clear something, but if I haven't cleared the memory, your body's going to remember it, and the effects of the incident or the trauma or the shock will be replicated in your future responses. And with the memory, it'll help impair your health. So that's one of the thing that's one of the energetic clearings that I do. That's just is part of the protocol of a great many of the different healings that I perform.
So that's a difference between just doctoring the symptom and going for the cure, going for the actual cause of the problem.
Yes.
Then that, again, is some of those unseen causes that you may not even be aware are hiding within your own body.
Yes, yes.
Now, it's not just accidents or traumas. It's sometimes we can pick this up environmentally, can't we?
Well, absolutely. There is environmentally, not only due to air pollution, water pollution, that sort of thing, which I think most of us have agreed that is quite an issue here. But the history of the area where you have lived, if you move into a house where a lot of trauma has occurred, it's going to be on the site. It's going to affect you. And if you aren't aware of it and do not have it cleared, you've got a problem. I can go and clear trauma from properties. Mm-hmm. And I do have some procedures where, for example, if you are living too close to an electromagnetic radiation source, like one of those big electrical transformers you see in neighborhoods.
High tension wires and stuff, yeah.
Those can deeply affect you, and I do have a protocol for clearing those on your property. Absolutely. And when I am putting protection around an individual myself, I protect the individual and the family members, the house, the possessions, the vehicles, and the entire property down to the center of the earth and above up to infinity or beyond infinity. Because energetically, the environment is just as subject to energetic
contaminants.
Yes, contaminants as the human body.
Okay, now you mentioned trauma that was in perhaps a property that you move into that you're not even aware of.
Right.
That is one main reason why I will not sleep anywhere until I have cleansed and blessed it.
Absolutely. I have codes that... I go into a hotel room. I do a lot of energetic cleansing.
See, that's something most people don't think about. They're on vacation or they're on a trip. They go and they just want to relax and unwind or do their business. And they don't think about all of the people that have been there before them.
That's right. That's right. And that is something that I always do. And, of course, before I eat, whether it's something I've cooked or if it's in a restaurant, I bless it. We have we all have a blessing code, our right hands clockwise, and it's effective enough. Doctors would call this anecdotal. See, when I tell a story, it's an anecdote. When the doctor tells the same story, it's case history. So I'll give you a case history. You can there have been case histories of a restaurant meal where everyone ate the same thing and food poisoning broke out. The individuals who blessed their food before they ate it, the same thing as everyone else, did not get the food poisoning.
Now, that is fascinating. And sometimes I wonder how much of it is actual food poisoning and the cook just having a really bad day.
That's a very good point. Very good point. Or when a cook is having a wonderful day, even food that isn't quite can be energetically uplifted by the cook's good mood. Like in the film, like Water for Chocolate.
I don't think I've seen that one, but that sounds fascinating, yes.
In that the young woman's emotional state affected her food. If she was crying when she fixed it, everyone cried when they ate it.
Well, you know, that's quite believable. People don't think about that, but how many times have you been in a fairly good mood and gone out for lunch, and suddenly you come back and you're just down and you don't know why?
That's right. Not only eating the food, also, if you're a prime example is the holiday rush, and you're out at Fayette Mall, and you're standing in line for 20 minutes to pay for something, I can assure you all the stress that you're putting out is going to affect the people in line around you. All of their stress is going to affect you, which is why we really need to try to be nice to everyone. Now, my teacher, Fred Payne, who I've been apprenticed to him since 2003 as a Phoenix Vibrational Healer. He does sell a few products, and one of them is a personal protection spray. And we succuss it, shake it up, and we dab it on the backs of our neck and up over up our head into the center of our forehead. And it helps protect us from the negative environments. He likes to say that spray is so effective we can go shopping at Walmart and remain healthy while wearing it.
Yeah, I can understand that. Walmart is not one of my favorite places to go, especially when it's busy. Yeah, a girlfriend of mine is a flower essence expert, and she has created something called spiritual self-defense, which basically does the same thing. It's just certain essences that help to protect, Teflon coat your aura, so to speak, so that the stuff rolls off rather than sticks.
Absolutely. There are several different things. He makes it, your friend, the flower essences, they're very powerful. Even putting some, dabbing a little bit of eucalyptus on your solar plexus chakra can help, and vetiver is marvelous for spiritual self-defense.
And I found in a pinch, if you have nothing on you, just tapping works, or clapping, because it breaks that vibration just enough so that it goes away. I remember my teacher, for many moons, I would sit here and watch her when she'd walk into a public spot. She'd rap real hard the seat before she'd sit down, and I'd look at her kind of funny. Well, finally, I got around to going, Karen, what are you doing? And she says, oh, well, I don't know who sat there before me, so I'm breaking the vibration.
Oh, there are a number of ways. What I would do is do that, the blessing code I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm, that's another good way.
And or doing a concentrated prayer to put protection around myself.
Mm-hmm. Proof, again, that prayer does work, and it helps in many, many ways.
Yes.
Okay, things that seem to follow us that we don't even know about, like childhood things that we may not even remember.
Yes.
They can stay embedded in us. What do you do for something like that that people may not even know is causing their problem?
I can identify a negative emotional charge, and I can douse to see if it is from a previous life, or in the womb, or in this life, or even all three. And when I identify the negative emotional charge that is causing something, I can do a clearing to help the person let go of that. Well, I will integrate the codes into your body mind field complex and make sure that they're integrated properly. And then afterwards, that particular, douse, make sure it's gone. You want to make sure it's 100% cleared, because you don't want even a small amount there to gather kindred negative energies back. And then make sure that the positive emotional charge connected to that issue is over 98%.
Now, it's interesting that you say that you douse for it, because dowsing, of course, has been around for many, many centuries. They've used it for everything from finding water to locating graves. In fact, many people are not even aware that the U.S. Army Corps still has a dowsing corps.
Oh, I didn't know they had a dowsing corps.
Yeah,
I
mean, they do. They have people that douse for them.
Fantastic. Well, that's the first thing that when you're studying PVH, you learn to douse. Because dousing, I'll tell you right up front, it's not 100%. we're human beings and we are not going to hit it 100% of the time. And everyone who doubts us knows that. But it's the best thing we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I, you know, it's the best thing I have. That's what I live by. And we are careful to make sure that our dousing, we keep it as clean as possible. I check to make sure before I douse that I have my own true high self, that I have, that I'm clear, that I don't have any artificial, false manufactured or inappropriate selves, high selves, souls, soul essences, anything of the kind, and make sure that I have the right guides with myself and that I have permission. There's a number of rules to dousing. You have to have permission. If you don't
Absolutely.
Have permission, either it'll get wrong or it'll be correct, but something rather negative could happen. So I just want to say that I use that to identify what's going on. I have books of dousing charts to find and locate, because you'll see when you come work with me, I've got a half a dozen books there that I go through to see which issue is the one that needs to be cleared, and to make sure I've got my protocol set, and then I make sure that I go ahead and work on you.
See, that's fascinating, and there is a mark of a true caring healer, one that doesn't think they know it all. You don't have to know it all, as long as you know where to look for the information.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so you do dowsing. Do you do, like, muscle testing, applied kinesiology?
Yes, I do, to make sure if something is in your highest and best interest. And I have a protocol for that. Everyone does dowsing and kinesiology a little bit different. I make sure, you know, that nobody's switched. I make sure that we both have permission, all these different things going on. And then I make sure that I don't want you to be doing anything if it's less than 89% in your highest and best interest to do it. And in a situation like that, I'm accessing my high self. This mm-hmm. is not the intellect. So the less I know about a question, don't tell me what you're asking. You may even say, I'm thinking a specific thought. And do I agree with it? Do I get a yes or a no? And it's a declarative thought. It's not a question.
Mm-hmm.
That way we eliminate bias, if at all possible.
Exactly. That's one of the things I do when I teach muscle testing, is I do a double blind test. Right. I have stuff in numbered bags, and I have somebody else number my bag, so I don't even know what is in the bag.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or when I'm testing, the person holds the substance in his or her right hand, puts it on the heart mm-hmm. chakra, and extends the left arm. And we see what happens.
Now, oftentimes I've heard, well, I can override that. And I had my stepsister try until I turned her around and brought things into her energy field that she did not know what I was bringing. And then she tested true. You know, we will continue with our discussion in just a moment. We're going to take another short break. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
And now, more healing for the fourfolds of life on TalkZone.com. Here's Terry Page.
Welcome back. And with me here is Michelle Cantina. We're speaking about vibrational healing. We were just speaking about dowsing and energy clearing through the knowledge that we discover through applied kinesiology or muscle testing and dowsing. So that was what our topic was before the break. Michelle, how do you feel about the people that say, well, are you doing this against my will, or do you have to have my permission? Or
I absolutely have to have your permission. Dowsing has rules, and one of them is that I always ask, do I have permission? And I'm asking that from the individual's high self and from those who are appropriately involved, you know, as deemed by only the Creator. It's not my business to know who's appropriately involved, but the Creator will say so, and then I will ask. But if someone, I don't abrogate anyone's personal free will, not only is it wrong, it isn't going to work. The most powerful energy source we have is personal will. Because if someone does not want to change, it does not matter what you do, that person isn't going to change. So what I do, I always ask if I have permission to douse. Sometimes a person comes to me and whatever the issue is, for some reason, the creator or a high self of someone appropriately involved or the person's high self is not giving me permission, so I don't do it. That's one of the rules of dousing. You don't douse on a dare. You don't abrogate free will. You don't do anything without permission. Either the dousing won't work or something very negative will happen. And when somebody will come to me and say, my father's in the hospital dying, please save him, the first thing I have to do is connect with his high self and say, is this your preferred method of transition? And if I get a yes, I have no business interfering with that.
Mm-hmm. I've had a case very similar to that where they wanted me to save one of their sisters, and it's like she was ready to make her transition. I'm not going to interfere.
Right, right. But if that's not the method, that's not the individual's preferred method, then I will definitely go to work and do my very best. But you can't. It's wrong to try to change someone. It will hurt them if you succeed. Most of the time, you're not going to succeed mm-hmm. because of the immense power of personal will.
This is true. One thing that my teacher taught me early on was you don't go against people's personal will. And if you do, you have to be prepared to hold the responsibility of that person's life.
We're not able to do that. There was an incident. No names, of course. It will happen to someone else. Someone who could douse, a woman came to him and said, my husband's lost his keys. It's a key ring that has everything on her, safe deposit box and the houses and the cars.
Oh my.
And will you find it? The douser said, sure. Did not think to check, do I have permission? Found the keys. They were in the back seat of an automobile belonging to the husband's girlfriend.
Oh, my.
And the couple went to divorce court, and the douser lost both people as friends. Doing the mm-hmm. right thing, but without permission. So, well, it wasn't the right thing, as it turns out.
Yeah.
We don't know. Another thing I won't do is attempt to douse for the future. Don't try. Mm-mm. Don't ask me what lottery number to play. Because if I could douse for the future, I already would have done it. But we can't.
You'd be rich right now.
It is not possible to. You can look the way the energy is tending in a certain issue, but you can't accurately predict the future.
Yeah. Even when I do readings, I tell people this is a snapshot of the here and now. Every thought and decision you make changes this.
Yes.
So I cannot tell you what is absolutely going to be tomorrow. I can tell you what it looks like. It's headed that way. It's sort of like a weatherman.
It's almost, what if someone asks, insists on knowing so that, and then say, I am going to live to be 100, and then proceeds to engage in all kinds of risky health behaviors.
Dies at 57,
silly.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, that's just it. Every thought and decision you make changes what happens. The same thing happens in your healing. So having a healthful outlook on your healing process is very, very important. Your attitude makes a huge difference.
Yes.
In how well and how fast you're going to heal or recover.
Yes. The person's will and intention makes all the difference in the world.
Now, do you ever coach people with that, say, with positive affirmations or just a way to reprogram their thinking?
I can do that, yes, but I want to, I'm glad you asked that. There's something that I need to say about these affirmations. You can sit down or stand up and walk around and repeat a positive affirmation 500,000 times, and it will get you nowhere if you don't, on the unconscious level, agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
What I do have the ability to do is to find out if your unconscious believes it or not. If you don't believe it and you would like to, what we work on is a statement. And I douse every word to make sure it's the correct word to use.
Because it makes huge difference which words you use.
Words have power. They have their
very
own
much.
Vibrations, and they don't always mean what we think they mean. I have to douse for all of that. And I can create an affirmation, but what I do is that I can integrate it into your own body-mind-field complex, your consciousness, your unconscious self, and that will put you through quite a processing reaction.
Sort of like uploading the new thought pattern that you wish to have.
And it's going to, since you can't have opposed beliefs at the same time, and this is, it's a special master code that integrates it irrevocably, and it will blast out anything that opposes it. And so you're going to go into a massive detox. And I always warn people, this is going to
be prepared for the aftermath. Yeah.
This is going to be, but it is worth it. Then.
And it's not always getting sick. Sometimes it may just be a period of crying for no reason. But you had to release all that emotion that had been stored.
Definitely. And don't stop yourself crying. Tears do contain toxins. Mm-hmm. You want to get them out of your body.
Very healthy.
I have a protocol for people in a detox. Not only do you drink a lot of water and allow yourself to sleep, you also, I have them dosing themselves with rather large amounts of Sunny's Number 7, you know, the liquid bentonite.
Mm-hmm.
Much larger doses than the bottle recommends. And selenium. And I give them a schedule. How often, how many times a day to take it, for how many weeks, depending on their level of detox and what I've doused is best for them. That really helps, you know, that really smooths out the ride you have later on.
Yeah, it can help largely. And a lot of times when you're detoxing, you have to replace vital nutrients and minerals because it takes effort for your body to release this stuff, and in the process, you're burning up good vital nutrients.
Yes.
So that can also help alleviate some of the tiredness and the exhaustion and some of even the moodiness that you experience when you go through some detoxing.
But some of it, I remember one time I did a very massive clearing, and I won't do anything I won't ask anyone to do something I wouldn't do, but I will put myself through some things I will not put my clients through.
Exactly.
And this was a pretty massive process of letting go. I ran a low-grade fever for 3 weeks, but it did not frighten me because I knew what was happening. And I recovered without having to run to the doctor or do anything like that.
Now, doing it within the person's ability and what they're ready to handle is so important. I remember a friend of mine who was a holistic doctor took the hair sample when the analysis first came out. He sampled my hair and found that, you know, because I had worked on cars when I was younger, I had a lot of lead and other heavy toxins.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he devised a homeopathic formula to pull all this out of me, but I was so sick I could not go to work for 3 weeks. I coughed up stuff I didn't know was possible. Now, I'm completely clear, but let me tell you, I wouldn't put a dog through that. I wouldn't put my worst enemy on earth through that.
You're absolutely right. A lot of people, I'm glad you said that. I'm not a homeopathic practitioner. I do work with homeopathic practitioner. And one of the things that any good one will do is make sure you don't clear more than you can handle at one time.
You still have to function. Yeah.
You still have to function. And what I did myself, I knew I could handle it. But I would not, but you know, I'm a healer. I have seen some things and I have, I've had quite some incredible clearings, but I would not put any client of mine through something like that. That's why I stopped. They're saying, oh, let's go ahead and do this. And I say, no, you're already at this specific percentage of detox. We're stopping right now. You're just going to have to bear with this. You process this and then we will come back and do some more. I'm not going to have you bedridden, and I'm not going to heal you to death.
Exactly. So. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there has been a time or two in my career where I have had to go something radical because literally they were on death's door, and if they didn't, they were going to be dead.
But they understood.
But those were
that.
Extreme cases. They were that was actually still better than what they were facing.
Yes. Yes. It's a matter of judgment.
Exactly.
And it's a matter of knowing what. Your people can tell you. And I do urge my clients to tell me how they're feeling and don't talk to me about toughing anything out. because that's, mm-hmm. I'm not here to ask you to tough anything out. I am here to help you get well and at the pace that you can handle.
And people don't always recognize in the ways that they are healing, because sometimes they'll come to you and say, but what you did didn't work. Nothing happened. And then you start questioning them.
And then you find out what happened.
Exactly. Sometimes they'll say, well, what was your emotional state last week? What did you go through? Well, I cried all the time, but I didn't get sick. No, but you cried all the time.
And that's a marvelous release.
Yes, it is. It's a tremendous release. You're letting go. You know, they talk about let go and let God. This is physically how you do this.
Yes, it is. And people have become, I found most of my clients, they have become so accustomed to the burdens that mm-hmm. they have carried that they are surprised and amazed how they feel. They're not used to feeling good.
Mm-mm. And sometimes that can, at first, make them think they're feeling bad.
It depends on how they're seeing that. And you're right. We need to let them know what's really happening.
Yeah, because you can heal on many, many levels, and they're just not prepared. Now, do you have any experiences that you'd like to share over your years of healing that may give some insight to some of the people listening?
Well, there was an individual. We have a protocol, a specific protocol for chronic fatigue syndrome.
And very, very common problem.
Yes, this individual had been dealing with it for many years. And I worked with her for a while and got her ready, got her chakras balanced, got things like that taken care of. And then I did a clearing of it's a dimensional issue.
There again, working those rings that we talked about, all the different layers.
Yes. And I performed the healing. And I said, just let me know what's going on. In this case, a few days later, I got one of the nicest phone calls I'd ever had in my life. She said, she called me up, she says, what you did, it's wonderful. She says, I feel good. She said, we went out to dinner last night. I drank half a glass of wine. I had not been able to do that for the past 8 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And just really felt wonderful. Another time, an acquaintance of mine, I could tell, was quite ill. And blood sugar was a problem. Encountered him. He had lost over 30 pounds and looked skeletal. And I discovered at first that he was missing his true soul essence. And I said, let me do something. And I retrieved it. I brought it back. I put it back to him and cleared out the false ones. He said, I feel a lot better. You know, may I continue to work on you? Sure. And I had to find a very vicious implant, an energetic implant. I could not perform the healing in his presence because I have to protect myself.
Exactly.
When you clear something, one, you need to do it anonymously so it won't come back on you. Two, you have to get away from the person a certain distance so it won't jump out on you. I cleared it, and I had to clear all of its, the tendrils that had energetically worked through his system. He had a pretty high detox level, and I gave him the protocol with the sunnies and the selenium, which is mm-hmm. really wonderful. Selenium tends to bind to toxins, and it pulls them out of the bloodstream and passes them out through the colon. It really helps. Well, saw him again a month later, gained 20 pounds, and felt so much better. Saw him a second month and had gained back all of the weight he had lost, 33 pounds, and was feeling wonderful.
That's amazing. Now, how could something displace your soul essence? Any idea what event could have taken place in this person's life?
That's like a headache. There's so many different things that can do it.
Could it be childhood trauma or?
I doubt if it had been going on that long because he had just been going on for the past few months, you know, which caused him to become
sick. But some sort of event in his life.
It could have been an event. He could have been out in public and some very negative person in a bad mood wanting to share it with everyone knocked that out of everyone within sight.
That has happened to me before. Before I had the correction for my birth defect in my heart, a woman came off of an elevator in the mall, and I said hi to her because I'm pretty much pleasant to everybody, trying to spread the light. It hit me so hard, it knocked me into tachycardia for 45 minutes. She hit me so hard in my heart.
Making eye contact with the wrong person in traffic can do it.
Oh, yeah. Anywhere.
And when we're talking about people, we just spoke earlier about will and intention. There are people out there who they're angry and they want to take it out on everyone.
Absolutely. And they will throw energy balls around like missiles.
So sometimes. And a lot of them do it because they feel helpless. They're wishing they could do it. They don't know that they have done it.
They don't know they really can, yes.
And they have done it to someone who didn't hurt them. So, and I won't judge. I will say so many people don't know they have a choice. They don't know they have a choice. They don't know they have any power. And therefore, they don't know how to control it, and they don't know how to use it in their highest and best interest.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up, of course, it ends up hurting themselves worse because things do come, when you send that kind of negative energy, it does move in an arc and it returns to you.
Absolutely. You know, that brings up another important point. When you do remove something, say something foreign, could be an attachment of some sort. Yeah. One thing I always tell is we need to replace that because nature abhors a void. Something's going to fill it, and you might as well dictate what goes in there rather than take whatever comes along,
That's what we always do. Make sure that we either replace it with an appropriate positive energy, mm-hmm. or if there's a void that shouldn't have anything there, we remeld it together.
Repair the void,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
We repair it. Absolutely. There's a number of things. After you've done a clearing, then you do things like clearing the discordant memory of water, clearing shock, panic, and trauma, making sure voids are repaired and cleared, making sure any leaks or drains that are allowing your vital life force energy to escape are repaired, and then also work at retrieving and reintegrating personal life force energy, which is a spiritual substance.
Mm-hmm.
After you get the energetic work done, you have to get the spiritual work done. And that is an entire protocol in itself.
Yeah, people don't tend to think of themselves as having so many different layers. We're not just a flat tapestry. We're a multi-dimensional being with more that is unseen than is seen. That's why I tell people all the time there is way more in this universe that is unseen than is seen.
Absolutely.
So that is important to look for. You may not even know that things are going on, but once in a while it's worth it to find a good vibrational healer and have them give you a checkup, so to speak. Check your energy to see if there's anything that you're unaware of.
Yes, we're continually processing. I have to check up on myself at all times. And I will say this, I don't take anything into myself. I remove when something is extraordinarily unpleasant, I remove myself from the individual, and I send it up to be cleared by the Creator. You know, whatever has come out of the person has to go.
Very, very important fact. There's a lot of healers that I have known in the past that have brought everything into themselves, and they wonder why they end up with MS and fibromyalgia, and they end up, their lifespan of working, their career, is only 5 to 10 years at most. My teacher had been healing for 45 years and still going strong.
Absolutely, because you don't take that into yourself, no. You'll kill yourself.
Now, Michelle, if people would like to contact you, if they happen to be in the Lexington, Kentucky area and would like to come see you, how can they get a hold of you?
email would be the best way. It's my last name, Katina@twc.com. Katina is spelled C-A-T as in cat, I-N-N-A. So that's Katina@twc.com. I can work at a distance. If I have a radionic witness, I can easily work at a distance. It would be nice to meet you at least once. But I'm available, and we can see what we can do to help you. The human body, in essence, is a processing machine. And if we can process in the correct directions, we can really have a lot of good help.
That is wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today. We have touched on a lot of different subjects, many more that I could sit hours and hours talking to you about.
Thank you.
Also, if you happen to be in Lexington, Kentucky this weekend, we have the MP Fair at Patty Starr's office at 835 Porter Place.
I will be there.
Michelle will be there, as will myself, and many other gifted healers and psychics and vendors, all kinds of wonderful things. If you happen to be in the area, it is Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend. She does it once a month, and usually you can catch Michelle or myself there.
Yes.
Please do try to join us. If you would like to email me with any questions, if you missed Michelle's information, my email is Terry@mysticspirit.com. That's MYSTCSPIRIT.com. That's mystic with no eyes. So it has been a wonderful conversation today. Hope you've enjoyed it, and hope that you join me next month for another episode of Healing for the Four Folds of Life. Take care.